Do your clients see you as a partner or a vendor? What is the difference and why does it matter? My guests today prioritize setting themselves up as a partner to their agency clients and establishing a strategic relationship that is long-term, which helped them reach their first $500,000. When your clients see you and your business as partners, you can create a more profitable and sustainable business. So what is the difference between a vendor and a partner? A vendor relationship is transactional. You contact each other when a transaction is needed. In a partner relationship, you have a deeper connection, including insights on working styles and communication, leading to more trust and long-term clients. Hear how this duo prioritizes building partnerships with their clients and why they kept their full-time job until the agency hit $500,000 in annual revenue. Tune in. Welcome to the Small But Mighty Agency Podcast. If you're a creative consultant or agency owner who wants to know what the roller coaster ride really looks like to grow your business from one to many, you're in the right place. My guest and I pull back the curtains on the realities of growing and running agencies of different sizes and what it takes to build a team. And if you're anything like me, you want more than the highlight reel. You want to learn from the mistakes of others so that you can stop short of making the same mistakes. I'm your host, Audrey Joy Kwan. I spend my days as a coach and consultant to multiple six and seven figure agency owners. For the last 7 years, I've been behind the scenes helping people grow, lead, and operate small but mighty agencies. Here at the Small But Mighty Agency Podcast, we'll uncover what works and, equally as important, what didn't work to get these business owners to where they are today. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Small But Mighty Agency Podcast. We have a dynamic duo today. Catherine and Gabby grew their service-based business to $500,000 before quitting their full-time jobs. We're exploring why 500K was their magic number and how they grew and continue to grow their business. Specifically, we'll dive into how they strategically focus on being preferred partners with enterprise businesses. Before we get into all the goods, Catherine and Gabby, tell us a little more about you.
Hi, I'm Catherine Boyarski. I am the Chief Marketing Officer and one of the co-founders of CXD Studio, along with Gabby. My background is in content marketing, content strategy, and some journalism way back when. I am our head of content strategy and copywriting, and those are my specialties. So yeah, that's kind of me.
Hello, I'm Gabby Pinto. I'm the Chief Creative Officer here at CXD Studio, and my background is in marketing and design, as well as some web design and animation as well.
Tell me more about your partnership. How did you meet each other and start the agency?
Yeah, so actually, when we were in our first jobs together, when Gabby was interning and I was working in marketing for this small email software company, we had even talked about starting a company from the very beginning together. Our skills just complemented each other so well. We were like, we were going to name it Pixley Media at the time. This was many, many years ago. And so we really had a really great creative chemistry, and we worked really well together on projects, and we always were thinking of new ideas. But my dream job at the time was to go to HubSpot. And that's where I went from this first company, and I went to work at HubSpot. And Gabby and I both kind of ended up going to a few different companies over the years, working in tech, SaaS. And so then basically we were both freelancing on the side of our full-time roles. And at a certain point, we were kind of passing clients back and forth. If somebody came to me and was looking for design services, or if they came to Gabby and were looking for copywriting, we would work together on projects and refer each other clients. So we decided to partner up in 2017 and actually start our business, create an LLC, and start basically a side business of our content marketing agency.
Yeah. And I think what Catherine also didn't mention is that we ended up living together and being roommates. So it made things a lot easier to start a business. And we were both just like really like driven and just wanted to exceed in our careers as much as possible and really liked what we were doing. So I think that was a big push in starting a business together.
Let's discuss when you decide to go all in on your agency. I was surprised how both of you managed full-time jobs while running a $500,000 agency. That's a lot of juggling. Why was that dollar amount the signal?
Yeah, I think from my perspective, you can speak to your perspective with nursing, but from my perspective, I was really just just growing within the tech companies that I was working at and just learning a lot from the teams that I was working with. And I was a little afraid to just go on my own because I knew there was so much more to learn from these experienced, you know, creative leaders that I worked with at companies like Toast and Athena Health and Amazon. So my last job before I went full time was at Amazon. And I think I just really loved working there and was learning so much that I didn't want to give that up completely and was, you know, working two full-time jobs and enjoying both of them too. So it ended up being just that at some point I said, okay, like we've made a lot of money and the business continues to grow. So we are going to, you know, if I don't go full time, there's a cap, you know, of how much work that I can do in a certain day. And, you know, so that's kind of what led to leaving is just like, you know, bittersweet to leave a really smart team, but also knowing that Catherine and I had so much ahead of us and so much opportunity was coming our way that, you know, this is a once in a lifetime thing to grow your business.
Catherine, how about you? How did you manage a full-time job plus run a $500,000 agency? Many people would have quit their full-time job when their business hit six figures, never mind $500,000.
Yeah. So I had a very different path from Gabby. I was working in tech and I decided actually in 2017, I went complete 180 and I went to nursing school. So I was doing our business as a side job during nursing school. And then I started working full-time as a nurse here in Boston. And I was a nurse through the pandemic and our business continued to grow throughout the time that I was working full-time as a nurse. So I got to a point where I was also kind of in a similar situation. I really loved my job as a nurse and I really loved working on our business, but I was kind of working all the time, nights, weekends. And I, you know, it's just something that when you look back at it, it's that kind of momentum. You just, it was really hard to turn that away and to try to, you know, not take advantage of that momentum that we had with our business growth. So I decided to go full time with our business and I stayed per diem as a nurse. So kind of got the best of both worlds. And I still work a few days a month at my old hospital. So it was, but it was crazy though. It was absolutely, absolutely wild when we were kind of growing so much and, you know, requests were coming in and it's just something that you hope for. And it happened for us, which was really exciting.
I imagine that could not have been easy. Describe for me how you managed that lifestyle.
I took meetings from the hospital. My boss was fully on board for me doing my business as well as working there. And I would take business calls from work on breaks. And I would check my email during my lunch break and respond to clients. And we worked a lot of nights and a lot of weekends, to be honest. I know it's not exactly the healthiest recommendation, but
I think at some point too, we started hiring freelancers to help us. So there was a point where it was impossible for us to do it all while having the job. So we looked for freelancers that were, you know, talented and could take on work and train them. So yeah, a lot of nights and weekends and then starting to put processes together to make our lives easier, like eventually hiring a project manager and then just building a community of freelancers that we could reach out to whenever something happened or a new project happened that we couldn't take on ourselves.
You were at the point where you needed to hire a team to get client delivery off your plate. I'm sure that was happening before 500K. Why wait till 500K to give your notices?
Yeah. I don't even think we even thought that, you know, we would get to this size. Like we both started as just like, this is, you know, a fun side hustle to, you know, grow our skills. And it's also just like a nice thing to design for other clients than just like working at your tech company and just doing, focusing on that industry. So we were able to like learn about new industries and, you know, create, for me, it was just like creating new types of projects that I hadn't done before. But yeah, I think, we never imagined it would be this big. And I think it just grew really quickly in the pandemic as well. We had a really like insane 2 years, like 2020 to 22. And then eventually, what do you think of was like the point?
I think it was partly just that the girls got to a point where it was either go full time or stop. And then I also think that it was for a point where both of us felt really confident that this was sustainable for our full-time jobs and to completely sustain our lives. Like, I think that was something we were actually both looking at. We wanted to buy houses. So I was worried that if I didn't have a full-time job, it was going to be really hard for me to buy a house. Gabby wanted to buy a house. Mm-hmm. So there were kind of other things in our lives that we were really wanted to be really, really certain that this was going to continue, because, you know, as a freelancer or as an agency, your months fluctuate. So it can be hard to feel really confident at that point. Like, okay, even though things have fluctuated, I know that year over year, this is sustainable, no matter, you know, if we have a slower quarter and a more busy quarter.
We were extra cautious.
Yeah.
Thanks for detailing that. I want to dive into how you grew the agency quickly. You mentioned that you had a tremendous 2 years of growth and there was a hunger for your services in your niche. Tell us about your niche and how you found it.
We specifically work with B2B SaaS brands, and we do content marketing for them. But more specifically, we work typically with enterprise level B2B SaaS brands. So business to business software as a service. So mostly software companies, tech companies. We have dabbled in fintech, but it's usually more of, you know, these kind of marketing software platforms and adjacent, you know, software platforms that support business growth also. And something that we were able to take from our roles in B2B SaaS was, how do these companies work? Which teams use content marketing within those businesses? So we're able to kind of expand our services from just working with the main marketing team to being able to work with the product marketing team or the sales enablement team. So having been at large tech companies in the past on the marketing team, we definitely were able to, that helped us a lot in creating going into that specialty. And that specialty is now, feels like it's blown up so much since then, because we started working in these companies, you know, 8 years ago.
Your proximity to SaaS companies before starting your agency was an advantage. It shortened the learning curve on two things. First, how to get in the door with enterprise companies. And second, how to excel at establishing your business as a preferred partner with these companies. I want to explore what you're doing to set up as preferred partners.
Yeah. So one thing that we've been able to do with a few of our clients has been kind of, one thing is anticipating their needs, educating yourself on what their goals are and what they're reporting to their team director, and how you can help them kind of hit their goals and succeed. Because when they hit their goals, then other teams want to learn from what they're doing and they want to work with you too. So here's a story about a time that we were able to kind of anticipate needs, educate ourselves, and suggest a solution, and then be able to grow within a company, is that a lot of our clients went through the same growth phase where they started to want to localize their content as they expanded their businesses internationally. And some of our clients started coming back to us and saying, do you have these original files from projects that you worked on us with our US team? And we'd say, yes, we have these files and we'd love to help you localize them for a new team. Once we were able to localize that content, then the team that we worked with on the regional team side wanted to start working with us and started coming to us and needs a new content strategy. They need advice. They need, because they're starting a whole new content marketing channel in a new region and they have budget, but they just don't have resources because they're usually small teams. So that was a time where we were able to say, here's something that we're experienced in, which is localizing content, and here's how we can actually suggest the strategy to do this at scale.
Success with the first team is key. It provides a concrete case study showing that your agency works well with their company. Plus, it means you've established a process working with one team, demonstrating that your learning curve with other teams will be shorter.
Exactly. So we always start our process with a new client by going through kind of an audit of their content marketing presence, strategy, what do they have available to them? And then we make recommendations so we can apply that to another team, another market, another region, another product. And it's a scalable way to grow our business and help grow their business.
Getting in front of other teams in the organization and generating more visibility for your work is strategically essential to growing your business. What do you do to make that happen?
A lot of the time it's through word of mouth. Somebody will recommend us to another team, but there have been times in the past where we've had a lot of outreach from people that we've worked with in the past who have changed teams. So somebody that you work with now moved to a different team. They know how talented you are. They bring you over. Any other ways?
Yeah, I'd say like someone gets promoted, moves to a different team, just in terms of like understanding, like if we have, you know, a client from one specific company and even moving companies, that's happened before where like someone gets a new job and comes and reaches out to us. Tells their team about our agency and what we can provide, the value we can provide. So a lot of times, yeah, it's word of mouth and they kind of sell us to their coworkers.
If you create a complex business that makes you feel trapped, you will never want to grow your business. You'll do little or big things to self-sabotage growth because nobody wants to scale overwhelm. Not you, not me. I've been there. I learned this lesson as a second in command of an agency. I could not turn off my brain and relax because I would worry about what was and wasn't being done. It wasn't until I looked at the business from a productized service perspective. It gave us more bandwidth to double the revenue and sell and exit the business. Since then, I've been behind the scenes of multiple six and seven figure service-based businesses, helping consultants and marketers who are at capacity get out of being stuck in service delivery and growing. It all starts by looking through the lens of a productized service. Download the free productized service roadmap. Go to audreyjoyquan.com/roadmap or click the link directly in your show notes. How you think about growing your business is time-saving and highly strategic. You're growing deep roots in the company, but servicing as many internal teams as possible. Of course, you're going out there and getting new clients, but one of the highest priorities in your business is maximizing the opportunities available to you with your current clients.
It kind of happened sort of organically from the start, but we would start getting requests from, you know, like I said before, the product team or the sales enablement team. And a lot of the times we're really ingrained in these companies. We're in the Slack channel. We are in some team meetings. So people are aware of who we are and what we offer. And then we're able to, you know, capitalize on that by being, and we're already in their system. So it's a lot easier for them to work with us if they know that their coworkers have trusted us in the past. And we already know the brand and we're already in the systems as a vendor. So
I want to zone in on something you just said. It's the word visibility. What are some of the things you're doing to create more opportunities for your agency to be visible in the companies you work with?
Yeah, I think we are like in some Slack channels and some like project management tools, but we're also providing really valuable ideas in every meeting that we have with them that kind of exceed that project. So just like future project ideas or things that are connecting to that project that we're doing that could be something they can explore in the future. And they're always like, they have a budget and they're always thinking of like what to do next. And then I think that kind of, you know, they can remember some of the ideas that we provided and reach back out to us for that. Yeah. What do you think?
I was going to say ideas. Ideas, I think, are something that really help us stand out and bring value to them. And we've had a lot of conversations recently where people have, you know, people in marketing roles have problems being creative and coming up with new ideas. They have goals to hit, but they just, it's hard when you're trying to manage a program or a team or, you know, and to sit down and just think of ideas. So that's something that I actually did on a call recently. One of our clients is going out on maternity leave. She was like, I just can't think. I need to fill out this whole content strategy and calendar for the next few quarters. And I just can't think. So we just started brainstorming and I gave a ton of ideas. And she's like, oh my God, I didn't think I was going to get this done before I went out on leave. And now it's done. So that's a way to help the client and then also get work back to us.
I was going to mention something too. There are times where like we have a client that, you know, we created a report for them and they in promotional assets and we provide some ideas on like, should we try to do an animated version of this or should we try to create like a different type of content, like more shareable? So just providing those and topics. And we're seeing them like on social media, we kind of, you know, are ingrained in that. So we know, you know, what we've seen, what's popular, what's trending. So getting those ideas out to them. And that is also a sort of like an upsell move from our side on just like, here's, you know, more services that we can provide to you.
I love that you brought up the word upsell. What does an upsell look like in your business?
We're project-based, so we upsell on projects. So when we work with clients regularly, we are able to kind of understand what a campaign looks like for them. And sometimes they might come to us for one element of a campaign, like, a digital guide. And then another time they might just need the promo assets. And that flexibility is something that I think our clients really appreciate, is being able to use our services when they need us and not use them when they don't need us or don't have budget. And then they come back to us because we're easy to work with. But we always share a lot of our services. We share a pitch deck with all of our services up front, so they're aware of everything that we do. And then, like Gabby said, we're able to suggest add-ons to a campaign. Let's help them make a landing page, or let's help do an ad campaign and maximize the life of this campaign. And then we like to bring up those conversations too. If there's, you know, coming to the end of a quarter, do you have any extra budget left over that you'd like to do an ad campaign? Let us help you put together that, you know, that creative and something to test. And that's just something that our clients like to take advantage of.
Yeah, we worked with a client recently that had just like their landing page that they launched for like an industry report that they launched the year prior was, we noticed a lot of opportunity to update that landing page. It seemed like just from our experience, we kind of can guide them on CTAs to add and just certain techniques that they can optimize that landing page. So that report that they launched the year prior, they asked us to create a new report for this year. So that was just a way for us to upsell on, you know, let's help you create a landing page that's more optimized, and let's help you create social promotional assets to take leads to that landing page. So things like that, just seeing opportunities within their existing content as well.
The retainer type model is seen as the gold standard in an agency because it creates more predictable income. I think that reoccurring projects can be just as sustainable in a business, especially when your ideal clients needs reoccurring projects across their entire business. Tell me your thoughts on the retainer versus the project model.
We have experimented over the years with the retainer model, and we found that it puts a lot of pressure on the client to require the same needs month over month or quarter over quarter. And so once they start to get kind of, oh, actually this quarter we might not need that, or this, you know, it just ends up being easier to do project based. And overall, our clients have definitely expressed that they like the flexibility of being able to come to us and book us for 20 projects at once or book us for one project at once, just depending on their needs at that time.
The reoccurring project model works well when your goal is to be a preferred partner, because you're not looking at one-off projects. You're still looking at a series of projects booked throughout the year with multiple teams across the enterprise. You also mentioned in a chat we had offline that a distinct advantage of working with teams across the enterprise is the opportunity to get deeply educated in how their business works. Tell us more.
What we have done is we do have experience in these industries and at companies that have already scaled and are very successful, but we're able to take a lot of learnings from our own experience, our clients' testing and optimization methods that we can bring to other clients. But what we do is, with every new team that we work with, we're always asking about goals, how things work, how do you get your leads, where does that come from, who does it go to, so that we can understand our piece in the puzzle and then help them improve all of their numbers and suggest where they might be able to support another team. Actually, maybe the reason that this isn't working is actually because of the data quality that's coming in. So really understanding what their goals are for each team that we're working with, and the greater, obviously, business initiatives. But we really do try to educate ourselves for each individual client and on the industry. We're constantly reading articles. We go to events. We attend our clients' events. So we're always just trying to know what product launches are coming up and understand the larger business picture in the context of each project, so that we're able to add value. Oh, you have an event coming up next month for this product. Have you optimized the landing page for that product since then? Oh no, we didn't even think about that. We should definitely do that before then. So anticipating their needs based on their business goals.
As we wrap up here, is there anything else you want to share that has helped you and your agency be preferred partners to organizations?
We both do a lot of, and we also, you know, part of one of the things that I do a lot for my day-to-day role is actually interview leaders in the space. So I kind of get to a firsthand look at what's coming, what people are focusing on, and what companies should be thinking about. So for example, this year, something that a lot of companies are thinking about is revenue optimization and how every campaign can be tied to ROI and make sure that everything they're doing is really geared towards the bottom line. So that's something that we can bring up with our clients and say, how are you approaching your, you know, marketing ROI for this quarter? How are you approaching revenue optimization? What, how does each different, you know, channel that you are putting your money into and your efforts into, how is that giving you returns? So being, you know, being able to provide that for our clients and kind of give that high level strategy is definitely something that we get to take from different parts of our day-to-day client work and apply to other areas.
One thing to add to that too is we, a lot of times, we offer some suggestions to clients from based on what we've done with other clients. So we'll say like, oh, like this client here, you know, we just did this with them and it worked really well. And we think that this is a good idea for this project for you. So a lot of the times connecting all of our clients and all of the work we've done throughout to provide more value there.
Thank you for highlighting those two points. When you go deep into niche, it gives you the advantage of expert knowledge, whether it's identifying industry changes that will impact the future of the work you do with your clients or looking at what has worked in the present and applying it elsewhere in your client's business. So as we close here, tell me what motivates and inspires you.
Great question. We love creative, being creative, and that's kind of what is our, you know, it's our most fun thing. So we love working on our own brand a lot. And that's something that really motivates us to, you know, keep growing and supporting other women who are creative and freelancers and trying to get their start. And that's been something that has been one of my favorite things while we've grown our business is kind of being part of the women supporting women in creative professional roles world.
Yeah, we recently launched a shop for our brands called just the CXD Studio Shop. You can go on cxd.studio/shop to see it. It has a lot of creative, you know, we're going to try to do more. We're doing like apparel, just merch style. We're designing cups and mugs. And I think just like having that outlet to, it's not SaaS B2B. It's really just like fun, creative, personal projects that we put out in the world also is something that like kind of excites us and keeps us ready to create and do more.
Thank you both so much. Where can people find you online?
We are at CXD Studio and we are at www.cxd.studio. And on social, yeah, we're at CXD Studio. I'm at Kat Boyarski.
And I'm at Gabriella Pinto, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yes.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much for having us. This was great.
Hey there. Thanks for hanging out with me at the Small But Mighty Agency Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me if you hit the follow or subscribe button in your podcast app and share it with a friend. I'll see you on the next one.